baby.
Stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today.
Picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Good morning, WBAI listeners. It is Wednesday, January 25th, and it looks like it's a little messy outside, drizzling, so you want to make sure that you are dressed right and got out of the day today, whether you're going to work or school or running some errands. Kind of cold out there, 33 degrees here in the New York City area. I also want to welcome all the WBAI listeners from around the country. I love when you all send me messages about our show and the wonderful, incredible people that we bring on here to WBAI. This is a place where we center voices of communities that need to be heard. This is the place where we talk about what's going on in our country, in the world. This is a place where we have those hard conversations. And today is not going to be any different. I want folks to be prepared for an important conversation. We've had a devastating week here in the United States, and in specifically for some communities, more devastating than others. And as you all know, I always introduce you every Wednesday to some incredible friends of mine and people that are on the front lines here in our country, trying to make our country an incredible place for all of us to live in. I think we're a bit far from that. But before we get into our show, we're going to go to the newscast and see what's going on with democracy in America. So once we come back from newscast, we'll get right into our conversation.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
That's the contrast. Unity versus chaos, helping the middle class, helping their rich friends, and we will come together as moderates. They are extremists.
After a meeting Tuesday with President Joe Biden, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and other Democratic congressional leaders are calling on Republicans to reveal their spending cuts as the ongoing battle to raise the national debt ceiling continues. Schumer fired at what he called the extreme MAGA fringe of the Republican Party, which he says only wants to fight for the privileged few. President Biden says he won't allow Republicans to wreck the economy. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the only feasible solution he sees will have to originate in the House.
I think the final solution to this particular episode lies between Speaker McCarthy and the president.
Washington Senator Patty Murray, along with Democratic colleagues, said the fight for abortion rights did not end 50 years ago when Roe was decided, and it didn't end last year when Roe was overturned.
My Democratic colleagues in the Senate and I will not stop fighting until every woman in America, once again, has the right to control her own body and her own future.
Event ticket industry executives found themselves before the Senate Judiciary Committee to examine industry practices and Ticketmaster's role in last year's Taylor Swift concert tour fiasco, which left many unable to secure tickets. The incident has left some wondering if Ticketmaster has too much control amid calls of antitrust violations. Ticketmaster's president, Joe Berchtold, says they need to do better for customers and artists alike.
We knew bots would attack that on sale and planned accordingly. We were then hit with three times the amount of bot traffic that we'd ever experienced.
Classified documents were found last week at former Vice President Mike Pence's Indiana home. The revelation comes as President Biden and former President Donald Trump face investigations into the discovery of classified materials in their possession. According to Pence's team, they notified the National Archives on January 18th. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is standing by his decision to block AP African American Studies for students, saying he believes it has no educational value and gets into political agendas.
Now, who would say that an important part of Black history is queer theory? That is somebody pushing an agenda on our kids.
Multiple state officials are now looking to overturn DeSantis's decision. The Republican National Committee is set to vote this week on not only condemning anti-Semitism, but also denouncing Ye, better known as Kanye West, and other conservative figures who have made anti-Semitic comments. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
That was the newscast, folks, and there's so much there to unpack. But today, we're going to get back to our courageous conversation. And for all of you really to tune in with your hearts, you are listening to Linda Sarsour on WBAI. And again, it's 7:06 a.m. this Wednesday morning. I am joined by my dear, dear sister, someone who I've been watching for decades, literally, fighting for Asian American communities, but also all communities in the greater New York City area, and really on the New York State level as well as nationally. I'm just a no-nonsense voice that has really been ensuring that our communities have access to the things that we deserve. And so I want to welcome to WBAI this morning our sister Joanne Yu, who is the executive director of the Asian American Federation. Welcome, Joanne.
Good morning, Linda. How do you do this so early in the morning, man? You are amazing. You are always my Shiro.
Listen, I'm not a morning person, but WBAI makes me a morning person. We also have another guest with us today. I watched her just organize at different organizations, you know, just got a lot of energy, just brings a lot of joy to spaces, and watched her work around the Unity March that happened last year that was so inspiring and so beautiful. And I wanted her voice here today as well on WBI. Please welcome Tiffany Chang, who is the Director of Community Engagement at Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. Welcome, Tiffany.
Good morning, Linda. It's so good to connect here with you as well as with Joanne. It's been a minute. It's really great to be reunited with some New York colleagues here.
This is why all of us together make one good package. I try to mix up my shows and, you know, and really help to ground us and ensure that people are really listening to, you know, our communities and bringing more voices to WBAI. We have a great listenership in the larger New York City area and folks who tune in from around the country. And our Asian American family has been really dealing with so much in the past few years and wanting to ensure that people really are listen deeply and listen actively. You know, this past week we had two devastating mass shootings, one in Monterey Park in the kind of greater Los Angeles area, where 11 people were murdered. And then just not even 48 hours later, we had another mass shooting in Half Moon Bay, where 7 people were murdered. And of course, that doesn't include in both Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay, the people that were injured and of course witnessed this horror. Now, in both of those mass shootings, the suspects are both also Asian American. And, you know, a lot of people who had originally, heard about the mass shootings before knowing who the shooters were, of course, there was this like anguish amongst Asian American across the country, Asian immigrant communities across the country, because of kind of past trauma and especially more recent past trauma. And so, you know, I'd love to hear from you both kind of what are the sentiments that you're hearing amongst Asian American communities right now in light of these two mass shootings, but also in general and in the last few years, that just the kind of the fear and anguish that Asian Americans are feeling across the country. And I'm going to start with you, Joanne.
You know, nothing is ever easy, right? And I think every day you wake up, you know, you can't take any day for granted. It's just been a hell of a few years, you know, Linda, you said it, you know, our Pan-Asian community, we have dealt with so much violence and trauma inflicted at us because of racism, as have done, you know, the Black and the Latino communities, as the Jewish community, right? Like, there has been so much of this, but that shooting on Sunday, I didn't even know about it until my staff told me. Mm. And I said, what are you talking about? And, you know, God forgive me, but I said, please, is this in New York? I hope this is not in New York. It doesn't make it any easier that it was in California where people were enjoying, but I feel like for the Asian American community in New York City, you know, we went into panic mode, like, oh my God. And when you hear the details of what happened, it was just so painful. Like, oh my gosh, these were people who are aunties and uncles who are out enjoying Lunar New Year Eve. This is where they were supposed to be happy. And, you know, getting news that the killer was somebody from the community. And then the next day there was another shooting. And, you know, it just has become, it's just pure insanity. And now that shootings, everyday shootings, this is we've always had, you know, this problem with just people getting slaughtered, going on with their daily lives. But I think the fact that it happened during Lunar New Year, where, you know, many of the East Asian countries, this is our, and the Vietnamese country, this is our big celebration. It was just really hard to take. I know, I remember Sunday night after I ran around and did a bunch of stuff and answered calls, I got home and I was just violently ill. I could not believe what we were seeing in this country.
Tiffany, what have you kind of experienced, or how you're feeling, how you've heard about from others and some of your, like, you know, affiliate organizations?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I'm based in Philadelphia now and lived in New York City for over a decade, but I'm originally a born and raised Californian. For Lunar New Year, I was in the Bay Area with family members when the Monterey Park shooting occurred. And on Sunday morning, I was woken up by a text from my executive director, John Yang. I checked the news immediately and spent the whole day reaching out to community partners in the LA area. And by community partners, I mean local organizations that serve Asian American communities. But this definitely hit home for me because I have close friends and family in Torrance, where the standoff with the Monterey Park shooter happened. And obviously being in the Bay Area, the Half Moon Bay is just a short drive away. By the time I got off the plane in Philadelphia on Monday, you know, there was another shooting that happened. So I spent all of Sunday reaching out to folks, making sure that our community partners were okay. And what I heard back was that no one was directly harmed, but that certainly there were staff from these organizations that were at this Lunar New Year event and missed this incident by just a couple of hours. And that definitely shook me. And, you know, I think it's really, you know, it's so much to process, right? We have the recurring nightmare of gun violence in this country happening this time in the state with the strongest gun laws in the nation. We have the ever-present threat of racist and xenophobic violence towards our communities, with the latest iteration of that being the targeting of Asian Americans. And even though we don't know yet that these murders constitute hate crimes from a legal standpoint, it changes nothing in terms of exacerbates the anxiety and fear that Asian American communities have been feeling all along, right? And then, of course, on top of that, the lack of mental health services, access to culturally competent care for Asian seniors and immigrants in general, which I know is something that Joanne and her team have been working on for many years. you know, it's a lot to process for our community, especially 2 years after the deadly shootings in Atlanta. It kind of, it definitely tells us that in addition to the sort of the violence that we face from outside of our community, that there's a lot of work that we still need to do amongst ourselves and within our community too, to make sure that the most vulnerable members of our communities are taken care of and that they have life-affirming services and community and all of those resources that we're fighting for, not just within the Asian American community, but across all communities of color.
Absolutely. I mean, I just, you know, I over the last, you know, year and a half, and I remember, you know, watching these videos of, you know, elder Asian immigrants, Asian Americans in New York, for example, and seeing, I remember this one video and I literally was enraged watching a woman probably either going to work or coming home from work, you know, and watching her being assaulted by a man in New York City, and thinking to myself, like, that could be your mother, that could be a grandmother, that could be, you know, your older sister, and thinking, like, if I was there, I would, you know, we're gonna fight, basically. And I think one of the things, I mean, even in light of the mass shootings, and of course, you both said this, I mean, this is a disease in America. It's an epidemic in America. We've had more mass shootings in 2023 than the days that have passed of this year. Last year, we had over 648 mass shootings, which is almost double the amount of days we have in 1 year. This is one of those issues, and there's a few, but this particular issue is one that impacts all of our communities. I mean, people are not safe at a Lunar New Year celebration. At a dance studio, we're not safe at the movie theater. You know, with Buffalo, you can't even go to the grocery store and shop in peace and safety. You know, children, elementary school children are not safe in our schools. High school students, we just had in between Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay, we had Des Moines, Iowa, where students were shot and killed. I mean, it is an ongoing issue. And I think, you know, for Asian American communities, it hasn't necessarily been like a top priority issue, in the sense that gun violence is something that, you know, people see as kind of impacting the general public. And of course, oftentimes we hear it in the context of Black communities. You know, do you think that this is these kind of incidents right now, after people kind of get through trauma and kind of, you know, of course, the time to grieve, seeing, you know, the Asian American community coming out and saying enough is enough when it comes to gun violence? Do you think this issue or these incidents are going to see more people kind of joining that larger fight to end gun violence?
Joanne? Linda, I don't know. You know, I have no idea how to process any of this stuff, because it's just sheer madness. But something, I know, you know, my entire staff, and, you know, first thing, you know, Jew, my deputy, said was, other communities live like this every day. And now this has visited our community, right? Where now this is an everyday thing for us. And you know, I keep telling myself, like, you have to focus so that way you can stay in the fight, that we don't normalize this. But I feel, that's what I fear, exactly what you said. We've had more shootings than we've had days in 2023. We can't normalize any of this stuff, and we can't normalize this for any community. I mean, not, you know, for all of anti-Asian hate work that we've all done together, including you, all the work that we did together. It wasn't just about, I only want my people to be safe. I only want us to be okay. That's never been our position. It's about, how do we keep everybody safe? How do we think about community security? How do we work through this together? How do we, you know, what is the plan? What is a shared solidarity for all of us? And, you know, what really disturbed me, one of the first things that disturbed me so much, and it does still rings true for me now, when all of the, you know, the very prominent COVID-related attacks started, there were so many young people in our community who went out to buy guns because they said, if I get attacked, I'm going to protect myself. And, mm-hmm. you know, my, you know, personally, I am terrified of them. And so all I kept thinking was, oh my God, this can't happen because you run the 50,000 scenarios in your head of how this is just going to be and badly. I hope other people are having these conversations, and being honest with themselves. It's just layers upon layers. And now our community has to acknowledge that this ugly issue is at our front door, and we need to get in the conversation, and we need to start a fight, and we need to push back. Exactly. You know, the California has some of the toughest gun control laws in this country, and look what happened. It's never ending, and we wake up every day to another shooting happen overnight. Like, what, you know, every morning I wake up thinking, what the hell is going on in this country right now, and why nobody seems to say enough is enough. It's become so politicized. You know, it's my right to have a gun. It is my right to do this. It's my right to do that. But it's also the right of innocent people to keep on living instead of getting killed every, you know, killed on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And I want to, you know, and our listeners overall, you know this history, but we've, you know, welcomed some new folks to this, what's going on with Linda Sarsour on Wednesday mornings. You know, although the two recent mass shootings, both, again, the suspects or perpetrators of those mass shootings were also Asian Americans, you know, just in general, as we talk about the fear and the anguish that Asian American communities have been feeling over the last few years, you know, in particular, but knowing that, you know, Asian Americans have experienced xenophobia since the first Asian Americans ever even got to the soil, and knowing history also as well, I think a lot of folks are starting to go back to that. You know, when we think about, you know, I was talking to someone the other day. I was in Alabama, and I went to for the fifth time, and I will go for 50 times to the National Memorial to commemorate the National Memorial for Peace and Justice, which commemorates victims of lynching. And, you know, I was telling my colleagues, I took them there as on a staff retreat. And if folks haven't been to Montgomery, Alabama, to go to the both the museum and also this National Memorial, please do. You know, that's a place, you know, there may not be many reasons you want to go to Alabama, but that definitely is a major reason to go. And I was telling my colleagues that as we commemorate those who have lost their lives to lynchings in America, one of the largest mass lynchings we've ever had in this country was of Chinese immigrants. You know, we think about the Chinese Exclusion Act, when we think about policies over the course of time and xenophobia that has impacted Asian communities, well, of course, was exacerbated in the last few years around the COVID pandemic, that this people live with this. And sometimes it brings up things for people, even things that happened decades ago. We think about Japanese internment camps in this country. So this kind of moment that we're living in is kind of like when we say never again, never again. And then it seems like it just happens again and again. And we find ourselves in places where communities who came to America for a better life, who came here to use their, you know, to use their skills and really make our country an incredible country with all its flaws, find themselves not feeling safe and not feeling like they belong. And so, you know, Tiffany, when we were, you know, listening to folks at the Unity March and just kind of over the course of the last few years, you know, what can we do? You know, I think as someone who is, I always tell Joanne, I'm West Asian, so I want to be clean.
I love that.
you know, of course, you know, my people face, unfortunately, a different kind of discrimination. But, you know, for folks who really want to be in solidarity with our Asian communities, whether they're, you know, whether they're experiencing mass shootings, whether they're, you know, of course, going through kind of this kind of, you know, flow of xenophobia in general over the last few years, what can people who are not Asian do for our Asian American sisters and brothers?
Thank you so much. And just so you know, Linda, we will claim you any day, anytime. and, you know, we definitely, you know, see you as a supreme example of how to hold space for people in shared communities and adjacent communities and allied communities. And just to respond to your earlier point about people coming here to seek safety and prosperity and freedom. You know, the trauma doesn't end at our borders, right? It a lot of those of us who have transnational identities have ancestors who endured war and violence, and even before coming to this country, right? So that is already an intergenerational trauma that we hold in our bodies. All three of us come from countries where there has been violence, right? And that where there have been revolutions, but there's also been resistance by our people too, and that continues, that legacy continues here in the United States. And I wanted to sort of emphasize too that against this backdrop of increasing violence against our communities, safety, both psychological and physical safety is a top concern. Our AJC and API Vote did a 2022 Asian American voter survey that showed that a majority, about 77% of Asian Americans, do support stricter gun laws. And we have to work from all sides of the problem if we're going to keep our communities and our nation safe from acts of violence. But to answer your question about what people can do, I think it's really important to be vigilant about narratives that further divide us, that further stigmatize our communities. It's important to uphold a narrative that doesn't lead to either the minimization of the violence due to the ethnic identities of the shooters, or the further stigmatization or criminalization of Asian Americans, but rather points us towards shared humanity and collective struggle. Over the past few days, can't tell you how many allies of ours have reached out to us, just offering support and help and resources. And, that definitely means a lot, like both on an institutional level between social justice, social impact organizations, and between individuals just checking up on each other, right? I just wanted to sort of shout out our affiliate in Southern California, Advancing Justice SoCal, who has launched a GoFundMe with a coalition of local Asian American Pacific Islander serving community-based organizations. They've started the Monterey Park Lunar New Year Victims Fund, where you can contribute to assisting the families of the victims. 100% of the funds are raised or sent directly to victims and surviving families. And they're also providing safe, confidential support in about 7 Asian languages to victims, families, and neighbors by helping them find social and health services. And so, we know we have to tackle this from all angles. And, in addition to just being vigilant about spreading the right messages about this instance, not minimizing it for a communal dispute, but rather pointing to a shared struggle and a collective struggle among all communities, ensure gun safety advocacy, or mental health or social services advocacy to make sure that our communities are taken care of, is so important. But also, being mindful to take care of ourselves too, right? We do have to pass legislation. We do have to hit the ground running, but we also need a cultural shift towards radical care for ourselves, towards healing justice. That provides a sense of belonging. We need a restorative approach towards conflict resolution, which is something that, we have learned from our brothers and sisters in allied movements, in the Black movement, for instance, the movement for Black Lives, for instance, and an emphasis on community building and organizing for solutions. Like, yes, we need mental health services, but we need more counselors for our seniors and youth who speak our languages. And, but we also need to address the intergenerational trauma that plagues, divides, and enables white supremacy and patriarchy to continue harming our communities as well.
I appreciate that, Tiffany, because I think it's important for people to be able to have kind of specific things that they can do. And I think, you know, donating to the GoFundMe, which I've seen online, and I'll post later for folks to see. And then, you know, taking care of ourselves is so underestimated in this moment, taking time. And for those of you who are employers and have Asian American staff checking in, you know, giving people space, this is hard. When you are imagining, you know, in Monterey Park, 11 people between the ages of 57 and 76, these are people's grandmothers, these are people's aunties, these are people's mothers and fathers. And so being able to give space to people after these devastating attacks, especially when those who are the targets of the mass shootings are kind of a homogeneous community, because you can't, regardless of who the perpetrator was, you can't really separate how a community has already been feeling and how this exasperates the feeling that has kind of been enduring over the last few years. So we're going to come back after a quick break and just to wrap up this conversation and really make sure that our folks at WBAI, those listening in today, are really going to find tangible things to do to hold space for our Asian American sisters and brothers and family. And so we'll be right back after the break. You were listening to the saxophonist, the late Fred Ho, and Dr. Salim Washington from the Scientific Souls Duet. If you just tuned in to WBAI, it is 7:34 a.m. In New York City today. It's a chilly day outside, and my heart is warmed here on WBAI with my dear sisters, Joanne Yu of the Asian American Federation and Tiffany Chang from Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. And we've spent the last about 25 minutes, you know, really centering our Asian American family across the country on in light of two devastating mass shootings that targeted Asian Americans, Asian immigrant communities out in Monterey Park and then in Half Moon Bay. And the Monterey Park mass shooting happened on while people were celebrating Lunar New Year. And we at WBAI wish our Asian American family across the country and world a belated Happy New Year. And it's something that's just sitting on my heart. Like, you know, even when I woke up this morning and while my heart was so looking forward to hearing the voices of Joanne and Tiffany, but my heart is broken and it's broken and it breaks every day in this country. Not only because we have we've had more mass shootings in the United States this year than we've had even days in the month of January. And the many innocent people whose lives are lost in a country that cares more about keeping their guns than people. And remember, you know, gun violence is one of those epidemics that doesn't care if you're Black or white or Asian or anything, really. I mean, you could be, again, at a mall or a supermarket, at a movie theater, at a school. We know that gun violence doesn't really discriminate. But I think, again, what really broke my heart is the fact that our Asian American communities have been experiencing this fear and anguish, you know, in particular, our elder Asian Americans who have seen cases of assault, harassment. We've had cases in New York of people being pushed in front of trains, people murdered. I mean, it's just one thing after the next. And then after you're already kind of sitting with yourself and saying, am I even safe in this country? Can I go out? Can I take the train? Can I take the bus in this country? And then these mass shootings happen. And then the trauma that is, again, exasperated, you know, by these mass shootings. And so, you know, Joanne, we in New York have a lot of our own issues. And I know that the Asian American Federation has really been on the front lines around just in general around, you know, access to services for our undocumented immigrant communities, around our immigrant communities in general, and ensuring that the city really is serving our people in the way that they deserve. If there was one thing that you could say to our New York City elected officials right now, those who have influence in our city, just in general, of course, you know, we're at the heels of these mass shootings, but in general, for our immigrant communities, for our Asian communities, what is that thing that we need?
I think the number one thing we need, you know, I wish that there, we could all just have a collective exhale. And everyone just realize the humanity in each other. I think that is always, you know, we live in New York City. This is the most diverse city in the world. And yet we still are divided sometimes by choice, by, you know, I want to live with people who speak my language. I want to live in my neighborhood, and that's fine. For all the choices that we make, we also need to remember to honor other communities. I think that is always really important. Just because it doesn't happen in your community doesn't mean that you can look away. I mean, that's something that, you know, I was taught by, you know, a great friend of mine, you know, who wrote a book called, you know, We Are Not Here to Be Bystanders. I ended up reading that again and just realizing how true those words were, because, you know, one of the things that victims of the recent, you know, attacks on Asian Americans have asked me was, there were people around me and nobody did anything. And I think about that, that we are not here to be bystanders. And the question they always ask me that always pains me is, how come nobody did anything for me? How come nobody helped me? And that is the question that we have to answer together as people, as humanity. The one thing I would ask our elected officials is support for mental health. I know that, as Tiffany mentioned, by the way, Tiffany used to be a staffer at the Federation. So, you know, I claim Tiffany too. You know, we've been working on mental health for many years. Your old organization is a key partner. And we're trying to get people to talk about what is happening to ourselves in our communities. It's a huge stigma, not just in the Asian American, the Pan Asian community, but communities of color, because it's seen as something shameful to admit that you have a problem, that you have depression, that you need to go talk to somebody. And as Tiffany mentioned, that help is not available because of the fact that 85% of the mental health care providers in this country are white. And so the language expertise isn't there. The cultural expertise isn't there. Sometimes, you know, you need to have understand the religious aspects of where a patient is coming from. That is not there. And groups like Arab American Association, our other partners like Hamilton Madison House, what we've been fighting for is we need to figure out how to, one, create a pipeline where our communities, not just the Pan-Asian community, but Black and Latino communities as well, that we enter the mental health field as social workers, as counselors, to be able to offer services in language with sensitivity. That is something that we have to do. It's a crisis point. Our work together as the Mental Health Collaborative at the Federation, we've been saying forever, this is going to be the crisis that we of a lifetime. And I really do feel like that. It is, you know, the trauma, you know, we're now, you know, media is now examining the mental health of the Monterey Park shooter. So much is we sweep things under the rug until it becomes, you know, this horrific situation. And I think we can walk and chew them at the same time. We've got to tackle this. We've got to be able to have investments. I want to ask the elected officials, we need to have deep, deep investments in our communities so that when things like this occur, that there are people that, you know, everyday neighbors can go and say, hey, my neighborhood, a mental health person, could we get together and talk about what happened? Yesterday, we had a staff meeting, and the first thing we did was talk about how's everybody doing? You know, all of us who are working in the mental, in the nonprofit arena, helping the communities, the social justice arena, all of this impacts us because we are having to wake up, we have to keep working, and we have to help protect our communities. But it impacts us too, because it happens in our communities, you know, and in New York, it's multiple communities. You know, I hurt just as much for Buffalo, you know, the victims of the Buffalo shooting as we think about what happened in Monterey Park. There is an epidemic here of mental health, of violence. We need to talk about some of these things. And the other thing I want to talk about that a staff member had brought up, my staff member, Michelle, had brought up, and she's absolutely right. We need to we can't gloss over the fact that there were two shootings and both shooters were Asian Americans. We've got to start to have these internal conversations. The conversations need to start at home. We need to start to talk in the Asian American community about what happened. It doesn't absolve anybody of the horrific acts because they're Asian Americans. But as a community, we have to say, what are we going to do about things like this? We need to get involved in the conversations. Literally, we cannot look away, and we are not here to be bystanders. It's not just your job, my job, Tiffany's job to go out and protect our communities. It is everybody's job. And, you know, for all the media conversations that I've had, the one thing I ask of every New Yorker, every human being, you know, if Linda, what you said, you know, your mom got attacked, how would you feel? How would you feel? We have to look out for each other. We have to treat each other with respect. The reality is that our safety depends on the person next to me giving a damn about what is happening if I'm attacked. We really, really, at this moment, we really cannot look away, and we really cannot be bystanders.
I agree, Joanne. And you know, I was having this conversation the other day just about, you know, our cultures and kind of how some of us kind of grew up. And I grew up in a type of culture that was really about community and about being kind of raised in a village, and how everyone in your village was someone that you saw your family in or were treated like family. And what's interesting about American culture, as I compare it to cultures from around the world, it's a very individualistic culture. It's kind of like every man, woman, person for themselves. You know, you're walking in Manhattan, you got your head on straight, and you're just kind of zooming through the city. And it's not how I operate, and it's not how I was raised. And I think you're really making a call to our people, just everywhere, and saying, listen, if you are on a train platform or in a train, or you're on a sidewalk, or you're in a supermarket, or really wherever you are, if you see someone who's being harassed, if you see someone who's being, you know, spoken to in a disrespectful manner, in a xenophobic, racist, homophobic, you know, Islamophobic, anyone spewing anti-Semitism, this is your moment. This is your moment. This is a moment of courage for us to, you know, step in. And then sometimes stepping in doesn't mean that you're putting your own body at harm, right? That's not what it means. Sometimes what it means is that you may have to, you know, yell really, really loud, bring attention to the situation that's happening. Say, hey, step back. Hey, stop saying that. Hey, leave her, leave him alone. Others, it may require that you kind of get a little closer, maybe put your arm in between two people. This is the type of courage we need right now. We have to live in a community, in a city, in a country that basically says we are going to take care of each other. We are in this together. And, you know, this idea of mental health services, when I think about even somewhere like New York City, where the first thing that people decide when they're, you know, trying to put a budget together for the city, they start cutting the most, you know, important services. They go straight for healthcare, straight for education, you know, things that our community need. And one of those things that our communities need is mental health services. You know, I remember just in the, you know, aftermath of 9/11, with people who were feeling so much trauma, it would take sometimes months for people to get an appointment at some of the clinics in our area in Sunset Park, where I was, and in Bay Ridge, where I was working at that time. You know, the lack of access to mental health services, especially when people need them. And on top of that, to your point, culturally and linguistically sensitive mental health services. And maybe that's a call out to young people who are multilingual, who are bilingual, to, you know, I know a lot of our, you know, immigrant parents wanted us to be doctors and lawyers and engineers, but we also need mental health providers and people who speak the languages and understand the languages of our communities. And so the theme today, folks, here at WBAI with our great guest, Tiffany Chang from Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, and Joanne Yu from the Asian American Federation, is do not be a bystander. And I think that a young man who many of you may have seen the video, this is a man who risked his life in Monterey Park, who literally wrestled a gun out of the hands of a gunman. I mean, I'm just telling you to yell from afar, or maybe someone's, you know, being spoken to in a certain way. This is a man that decided that I might get shot, but if it means that I can distract this man from murdering more people, I'm going to do that. And that's what he did. And that's a hero. You want to talk about heroes? He is a hero. And I hope that he too is getting the mental health and support that he needs, because I'm sure that that experience was quite traumatic for him. So Tiffany, I'm going to go to you really quickly. You know, Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, is a national organization. And I know you all do a lot of work and kind of federal work and policy work. You know, if there was one thing that you can tell Congress right now, or tell our national federal leadership, like what they can do in the aftermath of these horrific shootings, what would that be?
Absolutely. So something that I would want our legislators to uphold again is the message that, you know, that this violence is not acceptable towards and towards any community. You know, our administration has done some work to just really set the tone in this country that anti-Asian violence or any kind of violence is unacceptable. But I would also agree with Joanne that you can't legislate kindness. You can't legislate courage, right? It's really, also up to us to not only realize that we do have agency. It's so easy for these traumatic events to make us feel powerless. And that's exactly what white supremacy, patriarchy, xenophobia is designed to make us feel, right? And something, if I had to leave folks with, a message, it's that you're not alone. When we were organizing the Unity March, right? We had so many communities that reached out outside of the Asian American community to support the event and to support the mobilization. Ebony Riley from National Action Network gave me the rundown on like how to even go about organizing something on the mall. You, Linda, like you mentored me in the last days leading up to the event. It's important to remember that we have the resources, the power, the knowledge and the creativity to keep each other safe. I draw so much strength and inspiration from, my Sikh American brothers and sisters, Kieran Gill from SALDA, for instance, because we are not the first ones to encounter this type of violence, both state sanctioned and interpersonal. And we can't forget that even as alone as we might feel in the wake of events like Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay, that we're actually all in this together and in this collective struggle. And at the same time, we also have allies who are there with us in the street, in the struggle, in spirit, and who have unfortunately been through this before. The Sikh American community has been a huge inspiration to me in the ways that they practiced community care and resilience and advocacy in the wake of post 9/11, the racism and xenophobia and violence. And we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We're not all alone here. And in fact, I'm so encouraged by all of the allies who have reached out and offered resources, and not just across communities of color, but from the gun violence prevention space, from the reproductive justice space, from, so many different groups and movements. And another thing I want to leave people with is that there are resources. So the AAPI Equity Alliance has published a resource guide for those to access mental health care, victim assistance, domestic violence prevention. There's also a community resources directory that Advancing Justice SoCal and Advancing Justice AJC are co-creating. So if you are a mental health care provider, that's something that you can actually submit resources to be listed. So definitely encourage folks to access those resources from the AAPI Equity Alliance, and also to take care of yourselves. I know the Asian American, the Asian Mental Health Project, and the Hate is a Virus group are hosting virtual community healing spaces. So I would definitely encourage folks to show up to those and to just share space and community. Again, because, these acts of violence can make us feel like we're all alone in this. And it's important to remind ourselves that we aren't, and that we're stronger when we are, when we collectivize. I just wanted to leave people with that word of hope that, in the last couple of years, ever since 2020, we first started to see a lot of violence against Asian Americans. The Advancing Justice Affiliation has trained over 100,000, 120,000, in fact, bystander intervention training. So people, we've trained people to do the things that you were talking about, Linda, to distract and to deflect harassment from vulnerable individuals. And that should tell us something, because it's not just Asian Americans attending these trainings. It's people from all backgrounds who just want to help, want to understand where this violence is coming from systemically, and take steps to be better allies and to change the spaces and cultures that they're inhabiting. So I just wanted to kind of end with that.
I appreciate that so much. And I'm so grateful for both you, Tiffany and Joanne, for being here today and really just providing us with some kind of moral clarity. For folks who are listening here at WBAI, I think oftentimes we do look for things that we want to do. And if you are so inclined to be in financial solidarity with our Asian American communities, in hopes that you of course support the victims, both of the Monterey Park and the Half Moon Bay shootings, and also the work of our Asian American communities. You know, you can support both the Asian American Federation here in New York, is a 501c3 organization. Go to their website. All you got to do is go Asian American Federation and they'll come up aafederation.org. Of course, Advancing Justice, AAJC, same thing. You're going to find them. They come to the top of the Google search, and just give and support organizations locally in your community, nationally, because it's important that we continue to give the resources to these communities to defend themselves, to stand up for their people, to ensure that their people are also receiving access to the things that they deserve so they can be whole. And so we are going to continue to hold our Asian American community. We are not going to be bystanders. And WBAI will always be a home for our Asian American communities. If any of you ever have anything that you want to share to our listeners, we are here. So thank you both. And I will say, you will hear me next week, WBAI listeners. Again, we can't be here on the radio without you. We can't bring voices like Tiffany's and Joanne's without you. So continue to support the wonderful work of WBAI.
WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Coming up next at 8 will be Democracy Now!
As New Yorkers, we like things fast. And when it comes to COVID-19, it's all about acting fast. Acting fast to get tested and treatment if you have COVID-19 symptoms. Treatment works best the sooner you start and can help you avoid serious illness. So act fast, especially if you're over 65 or have pre-existing conditions. Call your healthcare provider or 212-COVID-19 for testing and treatment options. And remember, COVID-19 vaccines are still the best protection against serious illness from the virus. Visit nyc.gov/vaccinefinder today.
That message brought to you by the New York City Department of Health. This is WBAI New York.